Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world. More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia. RRA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from Central Sulawesi entitled Tope Tugu. The song Tope Tugu tells the story of the courage of the heroes and fighters in Palu, Central Sulawesi. The song is often played in various events in Central Sulawesi. Tope Tugu has also been performed several times abroad, such as at the 2017 Tong Tong Festival in the Netherlands and the 2018 Asiatica Film Festival in Rome, Italy. Well, listener, here is the song Tope Tugu by Hajar Bleh Big Band featuring Zaro Ananta. Enjoy!
At the Mahar Margins of Indonesia.
Yeah.
7,000 pulau yang dihuni.
According to her, all these vaccines are part of the national Indonesia. Measles vaccines, especially for children. According to her, all these vaccines are part of the national immunization program and have undergone clinical testing processes.
Semua vaksin yang kita masukkan dalam program
all vaccines we include in aman. The national immunization program are safe. The government guarantees it because all these vaccines already have distribution permits from the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency.
Measles cases have been spreading in several regions of Indonesia. A total of 40 extraordinary events have been reported throughout 2025. Data from the Ministry of Health up to the 32nd week or around early August 2025 record 40 extraordinary events reported across 37 regencies or cities across Indonesia. Nationally, the recorded suspected cases reached 22,074 with 3,282 confirmed positive cases. Raditya Arif Putra Setiawan, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government urged a collaborative and inclusive approach to accelerate progress on its sustainable development goals. During a recent public consultation in Jakarta, a senior official highlighted the nation's achievement while underscoring the urgent need for multi-stakeholder partnerships to ensure development is equitable and sustainable, paving the way for the Golden Indonesia 2045 vision. Rizka Fadila has the details.
Konsultasi publik ini memang salah satu cara agar arah yang kita tempuh itu tidak hanya soal pertumbuhan, tapi juga memastikan bahwa keadilan sosial dan keberlanjutan lingkungan akan kita jaga sama-sama.
Deputy Minister of National Development Planning, Febrian Aprianto Rudiar, emphasized the importance of multi-stakeholder collaboration in achieving the target of the 2025-2030 National Action Plan for Sustainable Development Goals. He stated this during a public consultation held in Jakarta on Wednesday. He stressed that sustainable development must be a shared commitment to realize the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045.
Kita hanya 5 tahun untuk menuju 2030.
As a result, ladies and gentlemen, as of 2024, our SDGs indicators, as mentioned earlier, have reached 61.4%. This is certainly not because we are great, but rather because we have started to get used to working together and finding solution collectively.
Perjalanan kita konsisten dari sekarang hingga 2045.
Febrian explained that as of 2024, Indonesia SDGs indicators achievement has reached 61.4%, yet globally only 18% of targets are on track. According to him, without acceleration, the Asia-Pacific region could fall behind by up to 32 years in achieving the SDGs. Therefore, the 2025 to 2030 SDGs National Action Plan is designed to ensure development is more inclusive, equitable, and sustainable.
We only have 5 years until 2030 to complete all the SDGs targets. Then, in 2045, we hope to achieve our vision of becoming Golden Indonesia. So it's clear that every stage must be thoroughly prepared so that our journey is consistent from now until 2045.
Through this public consultation, Fabian affirmed that the government has prepared strategies in the form of stronger regulations, better data, and innovative financing. He also highlighted the importance of collaboration among all parties to ensure the implementation of the SDGs is transformative and has a tangible impact. Rizka Fadilah, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Parliament has given the green light for the naturalization process of Nina. The Indonesian Parliament has given the green light for the naturalization process of 9 athletes. This strategic move aims to boost the competitiveness of Indonesian national team on the international sports stage, particularly in football and ice hockey. Isan Syaputra has the details.
The Indonesian House of Representatives has accepted the government's request for the naturalizations of 9 soccer and ice hockey athletes. The Indonesian government is considering granting Indonesian citizenship to 9 athletes who will strengthen the national team in various sports. They consist of 2 male footballers, 3 female footballers, and 4 ice hockey athletes. Chairman of House Commission 13, Willy Aditya, on Wednesday in Jakarta expressed his appreciation for the cross-institutional efforts in the investigation and research to meet the naturalization requirements for these athletes.
Commission 13 of the Indonesian House Representatives appreciates the government, the Minister of Law, the Ministry of Youth and Sports, the Indonesian Football Association, and the Indonesian Ice Hockey Federation for their efforts related to investigations and research to fulfill the requirements for naturalizations of football and ice hockey players.
Meanwhile, the chairperson of Commission 10 of the House of Representatives, Hetifah Syaifuddin, hopes that naturalization athletes can quickly adapt and bring success to Indonesia.
Because you have already, almost become part of the national team in your respective sports. I hope you will quickly adapt, adjust to your new environment, and carry out this important responsibility to the best of your ability in order to bring pride to our nation. Congratulations.
Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports Taufik Hidayat stated that the naturalization applications was made not only to strengthen the national team in related sports, but also to transfer knowledge to local athletes. Isan Syaputra, Voice of Indonesia.
Head of the Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information Agency, Ministry of Villages and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Transmigration, Mulyadin Malik, stated on Wednesday that the Red and White Village Cooperatives support the development of village potential across all regions of Indonesia. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, he affirmed that the cooperatives operate according to the specific potential of each village, ranging from agriculture, fisheries, to tourism. Therefore, each cooperative is not made alike, but is instead tailored to the strength of the resources and economy of each respective village. We'll discuss this further with Mulyadin Malik, Head of Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information Agency, Ministry of Villages and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Transmigration. Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, today we'll be talking about Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program set by the Indonesian government, which has shown significant growth, with recent data recording more than 80,500 cooperatives already legally registered. These cooperatives are expected to become a driving force of the local economy at a village and sub-district level, and to improve community welfare. To learn more about how these cooperatives will operate, the facilities provided, the profit-sharing mechanism, and the involvement of the private sector, today we're joined by Mr. Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Hello, Bapak Mulyadin Malik. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon, too.
Thank you so much for joining us here with us on Voice of Indonesia to tell us more about the Red and White Village or Sub-District Cooperative Program. So here we've got data showing that there are now around 80,500 legally registered Red and White Village cooperatives. So could you explain how these cooperatives will operate in practice at a village and sub-district level, Pak Mulyadin?
Okay, thank you very much for the question and for this opportunity. The Red White Village Cooperative, or Kooperasi Desa Merah Putih, is a presidential priority program designed to support a major mission of the government. Now, as Asta Cita, the Red White Village Cooperative aims to achieve sustainable food, self-sufficiency, improve community welfare, and at the same time, promote national self-reliance. It is a true representation of people economy, a collective economic institution initiated, managed, and fully utilized by community.
Okay, and what about the process of these cooperatives' work, like from procurement to distribution? How's the process of goods entering and leaving the cooperative be managed?
Okay, let me give you some sample picture of how goods flow through the Red White Village Cooperative. First, the cooperative records the needs of its members and village community as the basis for procurement. Second, goods are sourced for local produce MSMEs or OMKM or official distributor for agricultural and fisheries products. The cooperative buys directly from farmers and fishermen at fair price. Third, all incoming goods are recorded and quality checked before being stored in the cooperative warehouse. Finally, distribution is carried out toward the cooperative, either directly to members or between villages at the sub-district level. With this system, the distribution chains become shorter, costs are more efficient, farmers and MSMEs or OMKM receive fairer price, and villagers can access goods at more affordable price.
Okay, and since this cooperative aims to improve community welfare, what about mechanism for profit sharing?
Yeah, the profit sharing mechanism in the cooperative is called sisa hasil usaha, or the remaining operating result. The principle is the profit are not only for the management, but are distributed back to members based on the amount of their savings and their participation in cooperative transaction. Part of the profit is also allocated for business development. Reserves and social fund can be used for education, health, or assistance to underprivileged villagers. The distribution process is carried out transparently through the annual member meeting and is now being shifting to a digital system to make it faster and more accountable. With this mechanism, members gain local benefits, fair price throughout the years, and sisa hasil usaha, a bonus at the end of each period. In addition, the social fund ensures that cooperative directly contributes to improve community welfare. In this way, the profits truly return to the villagers.
And you said this cooperative involves micro, small and medium enterprises, village communities. Which other parties will be engaged? And if private sectors is involved, what kind of concrete contributions that are expected from them?
In addition to MSMEs or OMKM and villages communities, the cooperatives also involves the regional, district, city government, financial institution or Himbara, Himpunan Bank Negara, universities, and the private sector. The government provides regulation, guidance, and access to national program. Financial institution support with affordable financial and digital service. University contribute through research, product innovation, and human resource training. From the private sector, incentive contribution including becoming a regular buyer of village product, providing sector infrastructure such as warehouses or machinery, and assistant with product standardization. They can also help open access to modern markets and export for cooperative product. With this collaboration, cooperatives become stronger and their benefits are directly felt by village community. Yes.
All right, Pak Mulyadin, final statement please to all Indonesians and our listeners worldwide about this Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program that will contribute to the people's welfare.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, I hope that the Red White Village Cooperative will not only serve as an economic institution, but also grow into a shared movement that strengthens village economies and improve quality life of its people. To achieve this, we need collaborative efforts from the government, communities, businesses, education institutions, and also the media, which play an important role in spreading information and education the people about the importance for village cooperatives. Let us succeed in this program together, because when we build the village, we build Indonesia. Leading village for Indonesia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik. Hopefully we can go hand in hand building synergy to make this program succeed. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, today we'll be talking about Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program set by the Indonesian government, which has shown significant growth, with recent data recording more than 80,500 cooperatives already legally registered. These cooperatives are expected to become a driving force of the local economy at a village and sub-district level, and to improve community welfare. To learn more about how these cooperatives will operate, the facilities provided, the profit-sharing mechanism, and the involvement of the private sector, today we're joined by Mr. Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Hello, Bapak Mulyadin Malik. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon, too.
Thank you so much for joining us here with us on Voice of Indonesia to tell us more about the Red and White Village or Sub-District Cooperative Program. So here we've got data showing that there are now around 80,500 legally registered Red and White Village cooperatives. So could you explain how these cooperatives will operate in practice at a village and sub-district level, Pak Mulyadi?
Okay, thank you very much for the question and for this opportunity. The Red White Village Cooperative, or Kooperasi Desa Merah Putih, is a presidential priority program designed to support a major mission of the government. Now, as Asta Cita, the Red White Village Cooperative aims to achieve sustainable food, self-sufficiency, improve community welfare, and at the same time, promote national self-reliance. It is a true representation of people economy, a collective economic institution initiated, managed, and fully utilized by community.
Okay, and what about the process of these cooperatives work, like from procurement to distribution? How's the process of goods entering and leaving the cooperative be managed?
Okay, let me give you some sample picture of how goods flow through the Red White Village Cooperative. First, the cooperative record the needs of its members and village community as the basis for procurement. Second, goods are sourced for local produce MSMEs or UMKM or official distributor for agricultural and fisheries products. The cooperative buys directly from farmers and fishermen at fair price. Third, all incoming goods are recorded and quality checked before being stored in the cooperative warehouse. Finally, distribution is carried out toward the cooperative, either directly to members or between villages at the sub-district level. With this system, the distribution chains become shorter, costs are more efficient, farmers and MSMEs or UMKM receive fairer price, and villagers can access good at more affordable price.
Okay, and since this cooperative aims to improve community welfare, what about mechanism for profit sharing?
Yeah, the profit sharing mechanism in the cooperative is called sisa hasil usaha, or the remaining operating result. The principle is the profit are not only for the management, but are distributed back to members based on the amount of their savings and their participation in cooperative transaction. Part of the profit is also allocated for business development. Reserves and social fund can be used for education, health, or assistance to underprivileged villagers. The distribution process is carried out transparently through the annual member meeting and is now being shifting to a digital system to make it faster and more accountable. With this mechanism, members gain double benefits: fair price throughout the years and sisa hasil usaha, a bonus at the end of each period. In addition, the social fund ensures that cooperative directly contributes to improve community welfare. In this way, the profits truly return to the villagers.
And you said this cooperative involved micro, small and medium enterprises, village communities. Which other parties will be engaged? And if private sectors is involved, what kind of concrete contributions that are expected from them?
In addition to MSMEs or OMKM and villages communities, the cooperatives also involves the regional, district, city government, financial institution or Himbara, Himpunan Bank Negara, universities, and the private sector. The government provides regulation, guidance, and access to national programs. Financial institutions support with affordable financial and digital service. University contribute through research, product innovation, and human resource training. From the private sector, incentive contribution including becoming a regular buyer of village product, providing sector infrastructure such as warehouses or machinery and assistance with product standardization. They can also help open access to modern markets and export for cooperative product. With this collaboration, cooperatives become stronger and their benefits are directly felt by village community. Yes.
All right, Pak Mulyadin, final statement please to all Indonesians and our listeners worldwide about this Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program that will contribute to the people's welfare.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, I hope that the Red White Village Cooperative will not only serve as an economic institution, but also grow into a shared movement that strengthens village economies and improve quality life of its people. To achieve this, we need collaborative efforts from the government, communities, businesses, education institutions, and also the media, which play an important role in spreading information and education to people about the importance for village cooperatives. Let us succeed in this program together, because when we build the village, we build Indonesia. Leading village for Indonesia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik. Hopefully we can go hand in hand building synergy to make this program succeed. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, today we'll be talking about Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program set by the Indonesian government, which has shown significant growth, with recent data recording more than 80,500 cooperatives already legally registered. These cooperatives are expected to become a driving force of the local economy at a village and sub-district level, and to improve community welfare. To learn more about how these cooperatives will operate, the facilities provided, the profit-sharing mechanism, and the involvement of the private sector, today we're joined by Mr. Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Hello, Bapak Mulyadin Malik. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon, too.
Thank you so much for joining us here with us on Voice of Indonesia to tell us more about the Red and White Village or Sub-District Cooperative Program. So here we've got data showing that there are now around 80,500 legally registered Red and White Village cooperatives. So could you explain how these cooperatives will operate in practice at a village and sub-district level, Pak Mulyadin?
Okay, thank you very much for the question and for this opportunity. The Red White Village Cooperative, or Kooperasi Desa Merah Putih, is a presidential priority program designed to support a major mission of the government. Now, as Asta Cita, the Red White Village Cooperative aims to achieve sustainable food, self-sufficiency, improve community welfare, and at the same time, promote national self-reliance. It is a true representation of people economy, a collective economic institution initiated, managed, and fully utilized by community.
Okay. And what about the process of these cooperatives' work, like from procurement to distribution? How's the process of goods entering and leaving the cooperative be managed?
Okay, let me give you some sample picture of how goods flow through the Red White Village Cooperative. First, the cooperative records the needs of its members and village community as the basis for procurement. Second, goods are sourced for local produce MSMEs or OMKM or official distributor for agricultural and fisheries products. The cooperative buys directly from farmers and fishermen at fair price. Third, all incoming goods are recorded and quality checked before being stored in the cooperative warehouse. Finally, distribution is carried out toward the cooperative, either directly to members or between villages at the sub-district level. With this system, the distribution chain becomes shorter. Costs are more efficient. Farmers and MSMEs or OMKM receive fairer price, and villagers can access goods at more affordable price.
Okay, and since this cooperative aims to improve community welfare, what about mechanism for profit sharing?
Yeah, the profit sharing mechanism in the cooperative is called sisa hasil usaha, or the remaining operating result. The principle is the profit are not only for the management, but are distributed back to members based on the amount of their savings and their participation in cooperative transaction. Part of the profit is also allocated for business development reserves and social fund can be used for education, health, or assistance to underprivileged villagers. The distribution process is carried out transparently through the annual member meeting and is now being shifting to a digital system to make it faster and more accountable. With this mechanism, members gain double benefits. Fair price throughout the years and sisa hasil usaha, a bonus at the end of each period. In addition, the social fund ensures that cooperative directly contributes to improve community welfare. In this way, the profits truly return to the villagers.
And you said this cooperative involves micro, small and medium enterprises, village communities. Which other parties will be engaged? And if private sectors is involved, what kind of concrete contributions that are expected from them?
In addition to MSMEs or OMKM and villages communities, the cooperatives also involves the regional, district, city government, financial institution or Himbara, Himpunan Bank Negara, universities, and the private sector. The government provides regulation, guidance, and access to national programs. Financial institutions support with affordable financial and digital service. University contribute through research, product innovation, and human resource training. From the private sector, incentive contribution including becoming regular buyer of village product, providing sector infrastructure such as warehouses or machinery and assistance with product standardization. They can also help open access to modern markets and export for cooperative product. With this collaboration, cooperatives become stronger and their benefits are directly felt by village community. Yes.
All right, Pak Mulyadin, final statement please to all Indonesians and our listeners worldwide about this Red and White Village Sub-District Cooperative Program that will contribute to the people's welfare.
Okay, thank you for this opportunity. Once again, I hope that the Red White Village Cooperative will not only serve as an economic institution, but also grow into a shared movement that strengthens village economies and improve quality life of its people. To achieve this, we need collaborative efforts from the government, communities, businesses, education institutions, and also the media, which play an important role in spreading information and education to people about the importance for village cooperatives. Let us succeed in this program together, because when we build the village, we build Indonesia. Leading village for Indonesia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik. Hopefully we can go hand in hand building synergy to make this program succeed. Thank you so much, Pak Mulyadin Malik, head of the Agency for Village and Disadvantaged Regions Development and Information. Well, listeners, stay tuned for more inspiring, insightful talks only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
You don't wanna get no closer, 'cause I touch like my mind in July. I know that look, I've seen it before, and I'm keeping score. Got you right where I want you. How you like that, baby? Yeah, but way too busy playing yourself. Ain't nobody else won't see me coming, but I'm coming.
Afternoon, viewer listeners. We are now on the end of the afternoon session of Indonesia Today with me, Unika. I'm very glad to have you here with us, Voice of Indonesia. And not only you've been listening to our online streaming, voinews.id, or maybe you're listening through our app, RRI Digital, you can also check out our social media at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, VOI_official on TikTok and Instagram. And if you want to send us an email, you can absolutely do that by contacting voilisteners@gmail.com and WhatsApp +62821238123 +62821238123. And I want to say thank you very much, VOI listeners, for sticking up with me on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Witwitan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Utama to the world.